When you walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, men can't stop you and the devil's afraid of you. It's true. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." That word means to walk cautiously, sensitively, as a person would walk through thorny terrain. See that you walk circumspectly, sensitively. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming or making the most of the time, because the days are evil." Are we in evil days? "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, a lot of people stop right there, but you've got to see the context and connect it with the next verse. "And do not be drunk with wine," which is dissipation. That means it just floats away like a mist. "But be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. In other words, to be filled with the Spirit is the way that you walk cautiously, sensitively. It's the way that you redeem the time. It's the way that you have wisdom and understand what the will of the Lord is. Point number two. Drink till you've drunk. Drink till you've drunk. Verse 18 of that passage said, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled," Greek, "be being filled with the Spirit." Spirit-filled people change the world, not just knowledge-filled people. If knowledge is power, then Spirit-applied knowledge is superpower. Some Christians have more degrees than a thermometer, but no more power than a toaster. When Jesus sent out mostly uneducated men into the very dangerous parts of the Roman Empire, he said, "But you shall receive power," Acts 1:8, "when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." That's when they'll receive power, not when you graduate from seminary, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. See, degrees without direction and unction are just dead orthodoxy. I believe you should get as much education as you can get. It's great. But it's not worth it without the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life. I believe every believer needs to be born again and then get baptized in the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking in other tongues. But then, because we're leaky vessels, we need to stay under the spout where the glory's coming out. Amen. I'll turn into a Pentecostal preacher saying stuff like that. Anyway, when I was a partier, I didn't sip a little wine out of a little glass with my little pinky out. I guzzled Mogan David 2020. Those of you that were drinkers know what I'm talking about. I didn't drink a little schnapps. I threw back a fifth of Jack Daniels. I didn't just drink a beer or two. I had to have a six-pack or four. I was the reason you couldn't serve alcohol at your party. As probably half the people in here have the same testimony. My point is this: you don't get drunk by showing up at a bar. I've been in a lot of restaurant bars and never got drunk. How come? Because I didn't drink the stuff they were serving to get me drunk. Nobody's ever been sitting at home reading their Bible and all of a sudden a bottle of whiskey jumped off the shelf at the liquor store and ran down the street and ran in their house and jumped up on them and poured themselves down their throat. Nobody ever got drunk that way. They had to deliberately decide they were going to drink. You don't get drunk unless you intentionally drink. Nobody goes to a bar and waits for a feeling to start drinking. They drink to get the feeling. church is like a Christian bar. You're not getting drunk unless you intentionally drink the word, worship, prayer, the gifts of the Spirit, and the Spirit himself. Amen. You might get wet, but you won't get filled. Psalm 81:10 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people would not hear my voice and Israel would have none of me. Things haven't changed a lot. Psalm 107:9, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Psalm 71:8, let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Proverbs 18:20, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. In Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see a pattern there? The filling of the Holy Spirit is not, this is a great deception, the filling of the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit choosing who he's going to fill. Let me say that again. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit choosing who to fill. It's you saying, I choose to worship and pray and press in and be filled and not be denied. Because he's already said he wants to fill you. That's already his choice. And he is no respecter of persons. He is a respecter of hunger. The Holy Spirit leads a full person, not an empty person. We're just waiting for something to zap us every morning. That isn't how it works. We choose to be filled. We choose to open our mouth wide and let him fill us. You know, it's funny. Some people can't stop talking outside of church. We get excited and start yelling at the Wildcat game. As a matter of fact, my parents were crazy when it came to UK basketball. We used to go over to their house, and we finally quit going when UK ball games were on because it was pointless. We'd go in there, and they'd be screaming and yelling and cussing at the TV. Like these people could hear them. I could go in there and I could say, Mom, I found $10,000 by the side of the road. And she's like, that's nice, dear. Stop that riff! I mean, there was no point in us even being in the room. Because they were crazy when it came to that. And, you know, we scream at our kids' ball games. And I'm all for having all that kind of passion for all that kind of stuff. It's okay. That's great. But we get in church and it's like somebody slapped a piece of duct tape over our mouth and zip tied our arms to our belt loops. I mean, it's what's different? Something is different. I treasure my worship time. I treasure it. I've told you before, if we're in the middle of worship and you want to come interrupt me, somebody better have died. Because I don't want to talk to you. I'm in the zone with my Lord. And we can all be distracted from worship. I don't want to be distracted. That's why I'm sitting up here. I mean, I'm the pastor. I could sit anywhere in this room I want. I sit here because I don't want anybody to distract me from worship. And when I'm worshiping, all I'm trying to do is connect with God and exalt him and that sort of thing. But you know what happens? It happened this morning. I'll get words of knowledge. I'll get direction. He'll plop something in my heart that I'm supposed to share in the sermon. He'll put somebody on my mind that I need to go bless after the service, or somebody that I need to specifically lay hands on and pray for. All kinds of things happen. And none of them I can ever predict. Like this morning, he gave me that little vision about the lady, whoever the lady was. What I'm saying to you is you will walk in the Spirit if you deliberately focus on drinking of the Spirit and the things of the Spirit. The leading of the Holy Spirit happens in people who choose to be filled. People who don't choose to walk in the Spirit are like the lame man at the Gate Beautiful in Acts chapter 3. Remember that story? There's this guy laying outside the door of the temple. Somebody had to drag him there every day because his legs didn't work. And he's laying there every day. He's obviously poor because he's got to beg. He's laying there begging. And Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray one day, and he begs. They'd probably passed him many times before. But the Holy Spirit came upon Peter, and he said to the lame man, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand, and he stood up and began to walk. Now, I want you to see a few things about that. Somebody else had to drag him to church. He sat at the back door looking in, not able to enter in. Lame Christians are laying around inactive Christians, not ever entering into anything. But notice what happened when this guy received strength to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 3:8. "So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." Notice the first thing he did was walk and leap and praise God and go right into the temple. He brought glory to God. His problems had not changed. His financial situation was still exactly the same. There was only one thing that had changed in his life. He now had the ability to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he wasn't going to waste it. As a matter of fact, it was the beginning of all the rest of his life really changing. Because I'm sure then he could go get a job. He could provide for himself. He didn't have to beg anymore. There were hundreds of consequences to it. But at that moment, his only focus was, I get to go all the way in the temple and I get to praise God with all my might. And everything else followed from there. I hope you can hear what I'm saying today. I want to share the last thing. This is the one that might bother some people. And, you know, I never intentionally preach anything to try to bother people. But I got to preach the truth. Pray in the Spirit. Why would that bother anybody? You'll see. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." In other words, the Spirit helps us pray, right? So, Pastor, are you talking about speaking in tongues? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. You can pray in the Spirit in English. You can. But generally, that phrase in Scripture means praying in tongues. Actually, it happens in both instances. That here's the way I pray. I'll pray in tongues for a while. And then the Lord will bring to my attention this person or this thing I should pray about. Then I'll pray in English. Then I'll go back praying in tongues. Then I'll pray in English when God puts something on my mind to pray. And so it's like a dance almost. So if you got a prayer list, you can have a prayer list 20 items wrong. About 5-10 minutes, you're done. When you go through your list, right? I'll go into prayer with a list of things to pray for, but then at the end, I just pray in the Spirit for a while. And almost every time the Holy Spirit says, okay, now pray about this, now pray about this, now pray about this, he helps me pray. You expressed rest and refreshing when you pray in tongues. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 11 says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing,' yet they would not hear." So let me ask you, are you confused? Are you discouraged? Are you fighting depression? Pray in tongues. After a while, that water will begin to water you. When you're in a battle in your mind, when you get in a battle, sometimes your mind and your emotions get worn out. They get tired. Start praying in tongues, and usually in 10 or 20 minutes, everything changes. But Pastor, I haven't been given that gift. No, you haven't received it. There's a difference. The Holy Spirit has promised to fill everyone who's thirsty. Everyone. Now, speaking in tongues is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but speaking in tongues is the overflow of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's a matter of receiving it. Jude chapter 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." When we pray in the Spirit, we are building ourselves up. So you don't need to get the Holy Spirit as much as you need to release the Holy Spirit. Tongues is a release. There are a lot of people in the church who complicate this thing, and because they complicate it, they have trouble receiving it. And what I mean by that is they're like, "Now, when I speak in tongues, what exactly will I say? Is God going to give me like a paragraph? Or if he would just lay out for me exactly what it is, and I need to know what it means, and once I get it figured out, then I'll do it." Can I tell you, you'll never do it that way. You'll never figure it out. God doesn't want you to figure it out. It's supernatural. For some reason, the really cerebral people have more difficulty than others. "Well, Pastor, I don't like to not be in control of what I'm saying." Really? Are you in control when you cuss? Are you in control when you have an outburst of anger? Or when you just say something dumb, you say something like, "Man, I shouldn't have said that." Were you in control perfectly of all that? Of course you weren't. When you speak in tongues, the Spirit is praying through you and you can't mess it up. You really can't. You can't say the wrong thing when you're praying in tongues. Every author of the New Testament spoke in tongues. Think about that. You release sounds that are coming from your spirit, not from your mind. So if you're trying to think about what you're going to say, just give it up. It's not going to work. You open the faucet of your mouth and you let the river flow out. Actually, three of the rivers flow out. 2 Timothy 1:6. "Therefore I remind you to stir up or fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Some people say that gift he wants you to stir up is the Holy Spirit, and I might have even actually said that myself. But as I study this, I see that that's not what he's talking about. The word for gift, when it's talking about the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is the word doria in the Greek. Here, the word is charisma, which is the one that speaks to the nine gifts of the Spirit, and tongues being one of those nine gifts. Tongues is the only gift that can be activated at will. None of the rest of them can you just decide, "I'm going to give a message and or I'm going to give a word of knowledge, or I'm going to heal somebody." All those are as the Spirit wills. But the speaking in tongues, now the giving a message in tongues like we heard this morning, that is an activation of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But your praying in tongues is something that every tongue-talking Christian can do whenever they want to. Right? Am I right? Raise your hand if you're a tongue-talking Christian found this to be true. Yes. Okay. So, we stir up. What do we stir up? Notice it's connected with verse 7. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power. When we pray in tongues, a river of power begins to come. A river of love begins to come. Like when that guy cuts you off in traffic, instead of running him off the road, you begin praying in tongues for him, and all of a sudden you love him. You don't want to kill him anymore. And the river of a sound mind, what's that word mean? That word in the Greek is one word, and it means to save the mind. In other words, when fear comes, or anger, or depression, or confusion, or some kind of need, you begin to pray in tongues, and power will come, and it stirs the other gifts up, and love comes, and your mind begins to be calm and clear. When our son was killed, when we arrived at the wreck, immediately Pam and I both began to speak in tongues, began to pray in tongues. And we did that the whole time while they were pulling him out of the car, while they were putting him in the helicopter to fly him to Lexington. As we drove to Lexington, we prayed in tongues all the way. We didn't even talk to each other. We just prayed in tongues all the way. Now, we were in agony. It was horrible. It was horrendous. But our minds were focused on what we needed to do. Our minds were clear. God had us, even though it was insanity. I can't describe it. But that's what that helped keep us during that time. Jensen Franklin told a story about a pastor in Birmingham, Alabama, not long ago, named Culpepper. When his daughter was 14 years old, she got in a car with her 16-year-old friend, and they went down the road to the store and to get a bite to eat. And on the way there, it was night and long stretch of road, and their car broke down. This stranger, pulled up and forced them into his car, put her in the back seat and the friend in the front seat, and he took off down the road with him, and he began to yell and scream and cuss. And the little girl in the back seat looked over in the corner of the floorboard, and there was a box with a knife, duct tape, and rope in it. And she began to tremble in fear. And then here's what she said to her dad later. She said, "Daddy, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost came on me, and I began to pray in tongues loud." And that guy said, "What are you doing? Shut up. Quit that." And she said, "I just prayed louder." And he looked over at the girl in the front seat and said, "What is she doing?" And she said, "She's praying in the Holy Spirit." And then she started. And so they were both praying in tongues really loud. And this guy was screaming at him, saying, "Stop that, stop that, stop that." And they wouldn't stop. They just kept praying. And finally he said, "I can't stand this." And he pulled over the side of the road and said, "Get out of my car." Who knows what they were on the way to have done to them. It's a precious thing. I know there's controversy about it in the church. I also know there's a lot of powerlessness in the church. I want everything God has for me. I have found this whole speaking in tongues thing to be one of the greatest blessings in my everyday life. It's awesome. I mean, I love you, and you're just as much a Christian as me. If you don't speak in tongues, God's hands on your life. I mean, there's everything all God's blessings are for you as much as anybody else. But I want to encourage you to get a little hungrier and drink until you've drunk what God wants you to drink. Could the worship team come? I almost preached short. Didn't happen this time. Next time it will. But it wasn't long either. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Would you bow your head for just a minute? I want to ask the most important question today. Anybody in this room, you know that you don't really know Jesus and you need to give your life to Christ. You need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. All you got to do is raise your hand. Thank you. Love to see that hand come up. Praise God. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm going to ask for one more thing in a minute. But first, I want everyone to stand, and I'd like us all to pray. This wonderful lady that raised her hand, I'm going to ask you to pray this too. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So I'd like to lead us all in this prayer, and particularly you. And you pray this, God hears it, and you get born again. That's how it works. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe Jesus died for my sins, that he rose from the dead. And right now I commit my whole life to you. Jesus Christ is my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Isn't God good? Let's give God a hand. Amen. Amen. Here's the second thing I want to do as the worship team is going to play in just a minute. If you are somebody here that you need to release in your prayer language, and you maybe you've been to the altar, maybe you haven't, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you've either never spoken in tongues or you have struggles with that or whatever, I want to invite you to come just stand across the front, and I want to pray over you and pray for a release of tongues in your life. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to try to get you to do anything. I'm going to just pray that God give you a release of the gift of tongues in your life. So you might be somebody that just already speaks in tongues, but you feel stifled. Whatever. So we're going to worship for a bit. And everyone who wants to come, and I'm going to come down and just touch each one in a minute once everybody's standing up here that wants to be prayed for. And then we're going to do something at the end, and we'll be done. So let's worship. Standing here, just focus on the Lord and worship Him. Just focus on the Lord.
Mercy of our God, cross that leaves no question of the measure of His love. chains are gone, our debt is paid, the cross has overthrown the grave. For Jesus' blood that sets us free means death to death and life for me.
Hallelujah. Anybody else coming? Come.
The innocent judged guilty of the guilty one was free. Death would be his portion, and our portion liberty. Our chains are gone, our debt is paid, the cross has overthrown the grave. For Jesus' blood that sets us free means death to death and life for me.
All right, here's what I'd like, that I believe the Lord wants to do. I'd like every one of these people standing up here to have someone who prays in the Spirit standing behind them, just with your hands lightly on their shoulder or whatever. Just one behind each person. If don't be shy, just go ahead and come, and we're all going to pray together. And just, you don't have to bunch up on one person, just everybody pick somebody. Praise the Lord. Wait till everybody has somebody standing behind them. Here we go. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, what I'd like you standing behind them to do is just pray quietly in the Spirit. Don't yell or get real loud or anything. Just softly pray over them in the Spirit, and as the Lord prompts you. And I want to lead you guys in a prayer. As these people are behind you praying for you, you guys can play softly, you know. And I want you to expect to speak in tongues as we pray. So, in your heart, I want you to get as receptive as you know how. You can lift your hands or not lift your hands or whatever. I like to lift my hands, but however that suits you. I'm not trying to manipulate anything here. And first, I want you to just repeat this prayer after me. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I hunger and I thirst for you. And I receive it. Give me a release of the Spirit in tongues. Now, everyone just pray. I want to encourage you guys to pray whatever comes up in your spirit. Just speak out whatever syllables happen. Just release, O God. Just bring release, O God, in the name of Jesus. Send your release. Release, O God, release in the Holy Spirit. Just bring release, Jesus, release. Release in the name of Jesus. Release in the Holy Spirit. Release in the Holy Spirit. Release in the Holy Spirit. Release in the Holy Spirit, O God. Release in the Holy Spirit. Release in the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me just say, God is doing something in every one of you guys' lives. I can sense that anointing on every single person that's standing down here. And whether you spoke in tongues just now or not, I want to encourage you so strongly to, if I can put it this way, get obsessed with it for a little while. Go in your prayer closet and pray and whatever is in your spirit. It's not something that you contrive in your mind. Whatever is in your spirit, speak it out. And I want to hear testimonies from every one of you about what God has done. And this is precious. This God has added to your life something that's awesome. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's finish that song and then we'll be dismissed. Praise God. What you're going to continue to do this week, Lord. I thank you for breakthroughs in the life of every person standing up here. I really rejoice in you for this lady who was saved this morning, God, and we are so awed by you. Thank you for everything you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.